Romans chapter 6. Just very briefly this morning, well, hopefully very briefly, going to talk about what baptism is. That is what we're doing today at the end of the service here. We're going to have five of our young people being baptized. And as we do that, I think it's necessary again to just kind of remind ourselves of why we do what we do in the church. Sometimes it's necessary for us to remember the significance of what we're doing. Sometimes it's not just in the church, in a lot of things that we do in life, we can just kind of fall into a routine of the things that we do, and we kind of lose sight or become desensitized to the meaning. And this is one of the things that Jesus has called his people to do, and we're going to look at again briefly at what baptism means. First of all, baptism is an outward expression of an inward work. Baptism is a physical expression of something that Jesus is doing within any given person. It is an outward expression of an inward work. Then what is being expressed by baptism? That's what we're going to look at here in a little bit, some of the symbolism of baptism and what that represents spiritually. Now, before we get to Romans chapter 6, I'm going to bounce around a good bit before we get there. First, we're going to look at, it helps us to understand what baptism is by understanding, first of all, what baptism is not. First of all, baptism is not the means by which we receive salvation. Baptism is not the means by which we receive salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 8, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is what it says, very simply. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." Baptism is an expression of what Jesus is doing in you, but the baptism does not bring about our salvation. Faith in Jesus is what brings about our salvation, meaning that we trust him, in him. We believe that he is Savior. We believe that he is Lord. We want to make him our master and align our lives with him, becoming disciples of Jesus, students of Jesus. That is what makes us saved in Jesus, is placing our faith and our trust in him. And again, it says, "This is not from yourselves," meaning there is no work that you could do to earn your salvation. Salvation is a gift of God. Our salvation is dependent on the mercy and grace of God through Jesus. Again, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you hear this many times. People will say, you know, they think they're going to heaven because they're a good, they think they're a good person. That I can't remember who said it, but they said Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. Understand, that is the problem. The human problem is that we are dead spiritually. It's not just that we do evil things, but we are dead spiritually without Jesus. We need to be made alive. Jesus didn't come just to make people a little better. He came to raise people from spiritual death to life. And there is no amount of good things that a human can do to bring themselves to life spiritually. It's not how that works. It is Jesus, by his death and resurrection, that was a model for our resurrection spiritually, first of all, spiritually, and also at the end with a glorified body. But what we're talking about here is a resurrection to spiritual life. This is what is needed, not just to do some good things in life, but to be made spiritually alive. Again, there is no work that you and I can do to earn that salvation or life spiritually. It is simply through the mercy and grace of Jesus and placing our faith in him. Luke chapter 23, this is with the thieves on the cross and their interactions with Jesus. Verse 42, it says, this is the thief that was repentant. He said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now, this illustrates that his salvation was not dependent on baptism, but his salvation was dependent on him trusting and placing his faith in Jesus. Now, though our salvation is not dependent on baptism, the reality is that Christ says that his people ought to observe and practice baptism. Matthew chapter 3, we find Jesus himself being baptized by John the Baptist. Matthew 28, we find Jesus said this to his disciples after his resurrection. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So again, our salvation is not dependent on baptism. However, Jesus said that it is something that we ought to do. He said that we should preach to people about him, teach people of who he is, and that we ought to baptize them. So baptism is not something that on which our salvation depends, but baptism is an expression of our faith among men. You see, our faith is not simply to be something that is simply practiced behind closed doors. It is not something that is to be hidden, but baptism is something that ought to, or our faith is something that ought to be outwardly expressed before men. Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 14, Jesus said this. He said, you are the light of the world. He's speaking to you and I. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what Jesus is saying here is that your life of faith, when you receive him, again, it is not something that is just simply to be practiced behind closed doors, but you are the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. We are walking in a world that is full of darkness. What this world needs is not different government leaders, though we would like to see some government leaders voted out. We won't get into that. What this world needs is not different government leaders or different rules or laws or those kind of things. What this world needs is a direct reflection or expression of faith, a living expression of faith by the people of God, that we would choose to be light in a world that is darkness. That is what this world needs. I don't care what president we have, they're not going to be able to save what's going on in our culture. It's not going to happen. What will save, what will bring about change, what will change the human hearts of the people around us is the people of God choosing to express their faith and be the light in the darkness. That is what this world needs. That is what your neighbors need. That is what your coworkers need. That is what your children need. That is what the people around you in this building need. They need you to choose to express outwardly your faith and be light in a world full of darkness. There is no other hope. The point is that Jesus said that our faith ought to be something that is to be shown and expressed and seen by all. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32, Jesus is talking to his disciples about the persecution that was sure to come. He reassures his disciples, telling them of their value to God the Father, but he says, in verse 32, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. What he is saying there is, this is not a private matter. Your faith is to be expressed before men confidently, boldly, and unashamedly. This is what baptism is. It is an expression of that faith, an outward expression of what Jesus is doing in you. In baptism, the people who are baptized are declaring, first of all, among the church, that I trust in Jesus, that I am ordering my life after him, and I want to walk with him for the rest of my life. This is what they're saying. It starts in the church. You see, everything that we do out in the world, that our faith ought to be expressed in the world, it has to start here. It's pretty hard to talk to hostile unbelievers about God if we can't talk about God together. It's pretty hard to express our faith boldly and confidently in a hostile world if I can't express that in front of my brothers and sisters in Christ. So Jesus calls us to start in the church with this expression of our faith, what he has done in us, and through baptism we are expressing that to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In baptism we are acknowledging God and our commitment to him. Again, baptism is an outward expression of what God is doing within your spirit. Now again, what exactly is being expressed then in the symbolism of baptism? Everything that we do in baptism is a symbol of what is happening spiritually. Now, first of all, from the beginning, God has showed us through symbol and ceremony that which he would do in the hearts of man by his mercy in Jesus. All the way through the Old Testament, we find physical pictures that point to spiritual realities that were to come in Jesus. We find shadows even of baptism outlined under the Old Covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1, it says, the Apostle Paul was speaking here. He said, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ." He's saying, even in that moment, in the Old Testament, in Israelites being set free from their slavery in Egypt, and they passed through the water, it says they were baptized to Moses. You see, the point is that Moses in that moment was a representation of what Jesus would do in us. Through that, they walked through the sea, that God had split this sea for them to walk through on dry ground. And in that, they came out on the other side as free people. The sea closed back on their captors, and they were devastated in that moment. But you see, in that moment, they followed the one sent by God through the sea to their freedom. And you see, in the same way, that was illustrating what would happen in us spiritually, that Jesus would be sent by God to be, the Word of God says, the exact representation of who God is, what God is like, and what God desires of us. And as we follow him, that illustrates that we are being set free from this world as we follow Jesus, brought to a place of freedom out of slavery, to newness of life in him. And that is what baptism illustrates, that we are being baptized and the old ways are dead, which we'll talk about here in a moment. But we are raised to new life and freedom in Jesus as we follow him and walk with him. Again, it says, those Israelites were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You see, that was illustrating the spiritual reality to come in Jesus. Cambridge Bible Notes says this. Says, the passing through the cloud in Exodus chapter 14 and the sea was a type of Christian baptism, in that he who passes through it exchanges a state of bondage for a state of freedom, the hard yoke of a Pharaoh for the fatherly care of God. And this happens in consequence of his following the guidance of a leader sent by God. The Israelites were baptized unto Moses because by passing through the cloud and the sea, they had become connected to him, dependent on his commands and guidance. In the same way, through baptism, we are saying, I am now orienting my life toward Jesus. I am identifying myself fully with him and being dependent on his commands and his guidance through this life. Now, baptism also expresses the death and burial of our old, natural, sinful self. The Word of God says that we, by nature, are sinful, and our natural self, or sinful nature, is to be crucified or put to death. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. It says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been free, set free from sin." You see, again, that illustrates what was happening in the Old Testament. The Israelites were in captivity or slavery in Egypt, and they passed through that sea, and they came out on the other side as free beings following Moses, who was the appointed leader of those people. In the same way, through baptism, the old nature is buried under the water, and they come back up out of the water as free beings in Jesus, brought to life in Jesus. It's symbolizing the new life in Jesus. And again, Jesus, like Moses, was the appointed leader of the Israelites in that moment in the Old Testament. Jesus is the appointed leader of his people. He is our shepherd. He guides us in paths of righteousness. And again, we are orienting, identifying ourselves with him, orienting to him and his ways, trusting fully in his guidance and provision for our journey. Again, it illustrates the baptism, the burial of our old sinful self. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, we were therefore buried with him through Jesus. We were buried with Jesus through baptism into death. Meaning that I am willingly making a decision that I am burying the old self that is oriented to the ways of this world and identified with the ways of this world so that I can be raised to a new life that is oriented towards the ways of Jesus and identified with him and his purposes in all ways. Ellicott's commentary says this. It says, burial is the consequence of death. It is the seal upon it, as it were, which shows that no revival is possible. Burial, being put in the grave in the dirt, put back in that pit over you, is the consequence or the seal that is set upon death. You see, taken underwater, that is the seal that is put on death, figuratively, which shows that no revival is possible. You see, in this act of baptism, again, the one who is being baptized is making a decision in declaring among the brothers and sisters in Christ that this is now a new life that I am living. This is a new way of life. You see, it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing to make a declaration among the people of God and say that this is my commitment to God. You see, you are the witnesses today. You are the witnesses, not just of those who are baptized today, but those who have been baptized before. And you see, it shouldn't be something that we are afraid of when we see that brother and sister. I'm not saying that these people are going to stray, but if someday we see one of them start to stray, to sit down with them and say, you know, I remember the day that I saw you go under the water. He declared among the brothers and sisters that you were burying the old life. And you are orienting your way, your life now towards Jesus and identifying yourself with him. And you know, I think that you're struggling with a little bit with that right now. You see, sometimes that's difficult because in the American culture, we want people to just tell us good things. You see, but sometimes we need somebody who's willing to come to us and say, I saw the commitment you made. And you need to make sure you're honoring it. So baptism illustrates our burial, the old man being buried. Baptism also represents resurrection. You see, the goodness of God does not leave us in the grave, but raises us to new life. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 4, it says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. Understand what he's saying. As Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We will also certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see, what baptism again is illustrating is the resurrection to new life that is a recognition or an outward expression of the new life that I'm experiencing spiritually, but it is also a recognition that there will be a day that I will again be raised with Jesus, the Word of God tells us, in a glorified body in a new heaven and a new earth. Because of Jesus. Only in Jesus can you find new life and assurance of resurrection from death. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You see, again, baptism is an outward expression of an inward work that God has done within you. It is the public declaration that any person who is being baptized, that they have actively chosen to dig a pit and bury the life according to the ways of this world. This means burying many of our natural desires, affections, and intentions. It's a significant point, understanding what is happening here. That I am, when I am allowing myself to be buried with Jesus, crucified with him, that means also many of my natural affections, desires, and intentions. You see, a lot of things that humans feel are not what is best for us. We've talked about this idea before. I was in Dominican a couple weeks ago with, there's about 60 people there, and I was able to do the teaching for that group in the morning. We do devotions every morning together, and there were some young people there that were asking Jamie and I, you know, they were saying, I just don't feel God. And I told them at one point that feelings are a terrible indicator sometimes of reality. Feelings are not the best indicator of reality. There are a lot of things that you feel that are not going to be right, true, accurate, or those feelings are not going to be the best guide for wise decisions in life. I'm sure many of you can attest to that. There are a lot of things you have felt in life that if you would have followed those feelings, it would have been terribly unwise for you. You see, at some point, the people of God have to make a decision. I'm going to do what the Word of God tells me is right, regardless of how I feel. And again, that may mean for you and I crucifying and burying many of our natural affections, desires, and intentions so that I can make way for God's intentions for me in Jesus. And when I do that, again, regardless of how I feel, I trust that Jesus' way of leading me in paths of righteousness is actually meant for my freedom. In the same way, again, that the Israelites were led through the sea and came out free people on the other side, in the same way, when I allow myself to be crucified and buried and resurrected to newness of life in Jesus, I understand that. That is actually freedom that I experience. Freedom that goes beyond even the American concept of freedom, which is such an amazing thing. But there is no concept of freedom constructed by man that can ever compare to living out your created purpose, that you were created to walk in Jesus and live according to his principles. You will never find more freedom than you will when you actually do that, because that is what you were created for. Baptism illustrates the reality that life according to the world's ways is dead and buried, but you are now alive in Christ, living according to the culture of heaven, the home you were created for. So again, Mandy and Carrie and Joyce are going to come up. They're going to lead us in a song. Just I have a couple more things very, very briefly, and then after that song, we're going to share in baptism together. But again, the point of this very quickly is salvation does not depend on baptism, but Jesus did say that we ought to do it. Sometimes we ask the wrong questions. The question in that is, do I have to be baptized to be saved? But see, the question really ought to be, do I love Jesus and do I want to do what he says? We ask the wrong questions. If that was our attitude, do I love Jesus and do I want to do what he says, the question of is my salvation dependent on it, that would be irrelevant. Here's what it comes down to. Jesus said that we should, so we do. Jesus said this, John chapter 14, he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Verse 21, he said, whoever has my commands and keeps them, that is the one who loves me. This illustrates, this is what Jesus is saying. I know the people that love me because they do what I say. He says, the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Understand what he's saying here. Again, I was just with these people that were saying, I don't feel God. This, he very clearly tells you here. The one who loves me, or whoever has my commands and keeps them, is the one who loves me. It says that God will love them, I will love them, meaning Jesus, and I will show myself to him. If you want to see God in your life, he very clearly tells you, do what I say. That doesn't mean that every day you're going to see God in your life, but you will be able to look back on your life and see that the ways that you were obedient to him, you will very clearly see the ways that he has worked in your life. That is the way that it has worked for me. There are days and months at times where I haven't necessarily seen God day to day, but I can look back now over the last 10 years of my life and I can tell you exactly the ways that God was working in me. You see, but there are also other times where in obedience to him, I've experienced him in profound ways in a moment. And I have felt him, the weight of God's glory, I have seen that and experienced that in a moment of being obedient to him. Jesus very clearly said, if you love me, do what I say, and I will show myself to you. You see, this is what baptism comes down to. Is somebody going to go to hell if they're not baptized? No, I don't think so. No. However, that's not the question. Am I willing to be obedient to Jesus because I love him? Do I want to just do what he says? Now, again, Mandy and Carrie are going to lead us in a song as we participate in baptism today in a few moments. Understand that we are sharing in the witness of these believers as they testify to what God has done in them. This is no small occasion. The same as any other baptism is no small occasion. What you and I are doing in this moment is sharing in an eternal experience, understanding that God has worked, the God, the creator of all things, has worked in the hearts of these young people today. And be praying for them as they go through this, that God will continue to work in them, that they will trust him throughout their life, and that we as a church will understand more and more ways that we can support the people around us that are professing faith in Jesus and help them in their journey. Will you lead us in a song?